Well, it is a joy, I suppose, to be able to come and tell you about the work of Uganda. I would like to say that if anybody does have any questions at the end, please feel free to ask me at the door. Don't be shy. There's maybe things that maybe I don't explain well, or maybe you don't understand, or whatever, aren't covered. So please just ask me at the door. There won't be any issue. The Uganda work was started over 10 years ago by an elderly couple called Noel and Stella Kelly. They left the comforts of their home in their mid-60s and sold much of what they had and had a vision for setting up a school and planting a church in Uganda. After over 10 years of hard labour and rough living conditions, they decided that because of their age and because of their health, they no longer could look after the work. I commend them for all their hard work, for what they have achieved for the Lord in their latter years. It really is a challenge to my own heart, and I honestly don't know if I could have survived like they have for the last 10 years or so. In their little home, all they had was three rooms, one to sit in, one to sleep in, and one for some of their things. They had no toilet, no shower, no running water, and no electricity. So I take my hat off to them. What they have achieved really is amazing. The work that the Kellys have established is called the Emmanuel Christian School, and it's more than just a school. Of the 350 children that attend the school, there's about 40 or so children who are full-time boarders. Some of the pupils, sadly, are orphans, abandoned by a parent or parents who can no longer look after them. And some of that number boarding at the school are not orphans. Some of them are sent from neighbouring countries by their parents who wish for their children to have Christian education. And that's extremely exciting because there is the potential for this Ugandan work to be a gateway for sending the gospel into places that we might just never reach in our lifetime. These young people, they know the language, they know the culture, and they belong there. So what an opportunity we have to send young disciple Christians back to their homes and communities with a desire to spread the gospel. With Uganda bordering Tanzania, the Congo, Rwanda, Kenya and South Sudan, we really have no idea how far the gospel could reach in the future should the Lord give us more children from these neighbouring countries. The school condition, well, because you can only imagine what the school it might be like tonight, I would like to try and give you a mental picture, if I may, so that you might understand why there is the need for someone with practical skills like myself to go there. The school property in Uganda is roughly set on about 3 acres of land. It has a sloping site, and it's located about 30 minutes from the equator. The property has a variety of buildings. There are classrooms, there is a guest house, there's basic housing for teachers, and there is the church situated at the top of the site. The school is a bit like a courtyard, with most of the buildings on the perimeter wall. The windows have bars, the doors are all made out of metal, and the roof is covered in tin. The buildings are basic. There's no real electricity except from what we get from solar power. The solar panels provide enough energy for a 5-watt bulb in every single room on site. But the biggest issue really is the fact that we have no running water. I don't know if you've ever tried to live without running water, but I can tell you it is a huge adjustment. There's so many things that each of us do every day at home that you need water for. We take for granted that you can turn on the tap and there it is. But can you imagine having to collect water in a container and carry it for 15 minutes if you want to flush the toilet, if you want to wash your hands, if you want to wash your food, if you want to have a shower, if you want to wash your clothes, if you want to mop the floor, if you want to do your teeth, if you want to do the dishes, or if you want to have a drink. We use water so much every single day, and yet water is just one of the examples of some of the issues that we will need to deal with in the work of Uganda. I won't, for time's sake, mention all of the issues that there are in the Uganda work, but if we think about the water situation for a minute, I'd like to show you why we need your prayers for the Lord's leading. On site, we have no pressurised town water like we do have here at home. We also have no working well. And so what we do have currently in Uganda is a system that is supposed to catch the rainwater from the roof in the gutter and then go to water tanks. But the problem is that the roofs are not effectively catching that water like they could. And sadly, the water tanks that we do have are all leaking. as you can imagine, water near the equator is absolutely essential. So what do? Effectively, we have three options. But the difficulty is, which one do you choose? Do we seek to harvest rainwater and catch all that water from the roof? Do we see about drilling a well? Or do we wait for town water to come out as far as where the school is? The answer is not an easy one. Every option has a downside. If we take, for example, the town water first, it has been promised for years, but hasn't yet materialised as far out as the location of the school. Recent developments in the area would suggest that it is much more likely than it ever was before. But how long do you wait? Nothing in Africa moves fast. And well, you say surely the drilling of a well is the best option, and it sounds like a great idea. However, one company has already said that they don't think they can find water. And the last option, harvesting water off the roofs, well, that sounds like a great idea too. But that would mean quite a bit of work. Effectively, we would have to build large enough tanks to hold enough water from one rainy season to the next that would sustain a few hundred children. So I ask you to pray for us as a team. There's lots to pray about. We definitely need wisdom with how to proceed with issues like this. Because we do not have a good water system in place, the current thing that the children are doing is that they're walking with water containers to the nearest spring. They make multiple trips a day, and the trip is quite hilly. It would take roughly 30 minutes for an adult to go with a container and collect that water and then bring it back. The containers, whenever they're full, would weigh about 20 kilograms. And if you can imagine picking up a bag of cement and walking uphill for 15 minutes, then you start to get an idea of what these children are going through multiple times a day, every day. But things like that, they can be avoided or reduced. While we're not there to improve their standard of living, certain things are essential to keep both the missionaries and the children healthy. I should tell you, in case you don't know, that the missionaries on the Uganda team are currently Stephen and Ruth Miller, Noreen McAfee and myself. Both Stephen and Ruth Miller and Noreen are already there, and I will hopefully be going, of course, at the end of this year. At this stage, I suppose, now that you have some kind of a mental picture of what the school is like and what kind of issues we might have, I suppose I should really tell you what it is that I hope to do. As for my role, well, it's not necessarily a straightforward answer. My role is likely to be somewhat quite broad. The Mission Board have asked me to consider my role not just to Uganda, but to any of our existing or future works that belong to our denomination. This practical role is a new role for our mission, and so I'm looking forward to taking care of whatever I can for our mission in the years to come. But with respect to Uganda, I will sort out the accommodation for the missionaries. The best property that we have at the minute is the guest house, and it would currently accommodate a couple without children. But really, it's not a bad size. The biggest issue with it is really that it needs a pressurised water system. Wasting hours every day collecting water is not really the best use of our time. And for Noreen and myself, there really isn't anything there on site that we could use longer term. There's only really the older boys' dorms, which is at the minute just four walls and a tin roof. On a longer term basis, I will also look after the maintenance work. As an example, one of the ongoing issues will be to seal up the buildings and things. We need to keep the mosquitoes out, basically. Sadly, some of the children contracted malaria recently, and so that will be something important to keep on top of. But currently, the windows, the doors, and even the roof are all letting in creatures of different shapes and sizes. I'm not talking about cracks or gaps that we might know of with regards to settlement. I'm talking about spaces big enough for a hornet the size of your baby finger to fly in and out of constantly. I'm talking about gaps big enough in places for rats to run in and out. And I'm talking about gaps in some places that are big enough for children even to crawl through. And all these things can be avoided. And so I will no doubt sort them out as soon as I can. With Miss McAfee coming to Uganda to develop the senior school, one of my bigger projects will be to extend the school. The school is currently running at full capacity with the 350 children that we do already have. But most of that number, 330 in fact, are actually in the primary school. So if we develop the senior school, I will need to facilitate that expansion. That alone may take a long period of time depending on how large the school gets. With regards to teaching and preaching, I know that I will be expected to take on some of the responsibilities whether it's on Sunday or even in the Sunday school, whether it's helping Stephen Miller out once a month or covering for him while he's on furlough. I trust that the Lord will help me greatly in that. But what I'm really excited about is discipleship and reaching out into the community. Having a school with so many children is, in itself, of course, a tremendous opportunity. We get to present them with the gospel 5 to 6 times a week. But a school gives us much more than that. It gives us vital links to the community, links to grandparents and parents who all take an interest in the children's lives, links to local farmers who will supply us with food, links to those, of course, that we will purchase things off, whether it's for the running of the school or school materials or building or whatever. And having such a privileged position, I hope we can use it effectively to reach the wider community and bring them under the sound of the gospel. Not only is there a greater opportunity to reach out, but there is a great opportunity within, of course. We will have an opportunity to disciple young people who have already come to know the Lord as their own personal Saviour. When I was there for a week at the end of August last year, I found that while I was working with the young men, I had a great opportunity to speak into their lives. They were willing to talk freely about the things of God. They were willing to ask questions. They were willing to say what they thought, and they were willing to tell you how they felt. So I'm excited to be able to develop that access and use it for the glory of God. Lastly, language and culture study. I personally believe I will want to learn language and culture, and really for a couple of reasons. The older generation, they don't speak English. So if you want to reach them with the gospel, we must learn language. Secondly, yes, some might say the young people are taught in English in the school, and some of them speak it quite well. So there's no real need to learn language. But that's simply not true. When you leave the young people to their own conversations, they instantly revert back to their mother tongue. And that actually tells us a lot. It tells us that the local language is the one that they want to speak, and it tells us that the mother tongue is the one that they understand best. So if we are to reach them with the things, with the deeper things, we will need to learn their language. If we are to show them how much we care, we will want to learn their language. After all, we are the outsiders, and we must adapt to their culture. If we want to get past that outsider stigma which comes with being a foreigner, we must learn language. Thirdly, each Sunday the preaching is always done in the local language. So if we want to see the local church grow and go from strength to strength, then we must endeavour to do it or be a part, of the church in a language that is the local one. What we currently preach in English is always translated. And because no two languages ever cross over perfectly, for accuracy's sake, it will be imperative that we learn the local dialect. As I finish off, I really want to leave you with two main prayer requests. Firstly, please pray for us, the workers, for myself as I go later in the year, and for those who are already there. We do need your prayers. Christ said in John 15, without me ye can do nothing. So please ask the Lord to give us the strength and the wisdom for all that lies ahead. Secondly then, please pray not only for us the workers, but also for the work. We need the Lord to prepare our hearts, to send us young and older people who will accept their need of salvation and then surrender their lives under him. What we need is discipleship makers. For the Ugandan work to be a success, it's not only souls saved that we need, but souls saved who, knowing and loving him, have a willingness to serve their master. James chapter 2 records for us that faith without works is dead. And so for the millions of people in Uganda to hear, we need the people of God to be active for the King of Kings. I'd like to thank you for listening and for the opportunity to be here tonight. I did bring some prayer cards and bookmarks and stuff. They're on the way out, so please take freely of them. Thank you very much.